Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your Son came to John to fulfill all righteousness by being baptized. After his death and resurrection, your Son commanded that we go and make disciples of all people, baptizing in the triune name. So grant us the faith to live according to your word, trusting that we truly have been redeemed from death and the devil and given eternal salvation, just as your promise declares. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Water. Water is a remarkable substance. Two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom interact in such a special way that when they become a solid, they expand. So ice floats. And water interacts with other substances in such a way that water is called the universal solvent, because water dissolves more substances than any other liquid. And that ability to dissolve substances is what is vitally important to life. Water is vital to all life, and in a way it makes all the more sense that God would have water involved as what in what is most important in your life as a child of God. The way you become a child of God, through the waters of baptism. Water with God's word. That is God's command and God's promise. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Baptism is a divine command. It is a divine origin. Baptism is instituted by God, thusly making baptism fundamental for Christian life. More than merely an external symbol, but in the mystery of God, bringing about an eternal change in our very being, an eternal change to our soul. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He, that is Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. But whoever does not believe will be condemned." Jesus came to John for the baptism of repentance. Baptism for repentance is a sign of turning from sin back towards God. Jesus did not come to John's baptism of repentance because he needed to repent. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 23. "To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He," that's meaning Christ Jesus, "he committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to one who judges justly." And likewise, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "God made him," that is Jesus, Christ Jesus, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So Jesus came to John to fulfill all righteousness. That is, to be obedient in all things. To fulfill something that was set in place in the mystery of the divine will, that John should baptize Jesus. The lesser point to the greater of whose sandals he's unworthy to untie, sandals he's unworthy to carry. And there, at that point, then came the testimony of God the Father with the opening of heaven, the descending of the Holy Spirit, and the voice declaring, "This is my Son." What other time would that vast testimony of God be most fitting? John's ministry was to prepare the way, and now the way has been prepared. Jesus is baptized by John. Now begins the ministry of Jesus. This most public occasion made clear to all who could see and all who could hear that this is the Messiah. This is the one John was talking about and pointing to, this Jesus. Now, there is nothing like a hot shower on a cold morning like this morning, or a hot bath on a cold winter's night that many may be taking later tonight. But they're not baptism. Bathing to get clean is not baptism, or getting wet while you're swimming or tubing, or the occasional falling in the river while you're trying to pull in that large fish and you lose your balance and fall in. That's not baptism, even though you're soaking wet. Or even walking in the rain. That's not baptism. So baptism is much more than water getting you wet. Water is water. And water will always be water. But water with God's Word. Oh, that is something else. Vastly and immeasurably something else. Water with God's Word is life-giving, bringing about a rebirth through the forgiveness of sins, redeeming from death and the devil, and giving eternal salvation. It is not the water that does this. It is God's Word with the water. Emphasis, God's Word with the water. The water is essential, but the water is not of first importance. In the mystery of God, God has chosen this to be His way of bringing about a change in eternal destiny. John's baptism of repentance was a sign of a person desiring to leave sin behind. The behavior may change, but the nature of the soul has not been fundamentally changed. The nature of the soul has not been redeemed. Now, water, with God's Word, the sacrament of baptism, we are profoundly changed deep inside our very being. Our souls are redeemed. Our life is transformed. Our eternal destiny different forever. Who we are has been fundamentally changed. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. For He, that is Jesus, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves. That's God. He has rescued us through Jesus Christ. Brought to the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's a fundamental, eternal change that takes place in you. Vastly different than the baptism of John, which was a sign of repentance. This Word, this God's Word with water, changes you eternally. We were buried with Christ through baptism into His death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too will live a new life. The Scripture declares that. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him and through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him in a death, in this, united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. You see, difference of death to life. Now, what I find fascinating is the conversations, or rather, they're really arguments that are with such adamance in their position is biblical. Whether baptism is for all ages, including infants, or you must be able to express you are a believer. The arguments adamantly fought whether baptism must be by immersion, completely dunked on the water, or water poured over is just as efficacious. Baptism once and for all life, only one baptism, or rebaptize as many times as it takes. You've heard the arguments and how forcefully they're given. When I was in seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota, a friend of mine who was not from a Lutheran background shared his story a little bit, and he spoke up about how his third baptism finally took for him. Yes, he said, his third baptism, his first baptism, second baptism, they didn't take, but his third baptism finally took for him. So I looked at him for a few moments to try to absorb what he was saying, and I asked him, well, what was wrong with the first two baptisms? Was the water the wrong temperature? Was the name of God ineffective? Or are you focusing on your human ability and making the baptism all about you? He looked at me, stunned, for a few moments in a daze, trying to think through what I just asked him. And slowly that look of aha, that dawning came upon him. Understanding came across his face. He was making it about himself and not trusting in God's word or God's promise. Now, let us look at these. Sprinkling or immersion. What are you focusing on? The water. What should we be focusing on? God's word and God's promise. Baptized more than once, what are you focusing on? Human ability, not God's word and God's promise of new life in Christ. You're focusing on human ability to try to live right. Focus on God's word and God's promise. Baptized at any age or baptized, you must pass a certain age and be old enough to speak for yourself. What are you focusing on? Human ability. Not God's command to go and baptize all people. And with this position that a child or a person or whatever age needs to speak for themselves. With this position, must be able to speak for yourself. What do you say to the family with a child that's challenged mentally, of mental capacity? You're going to say, I'm sorry, since your child is incapable of mentally understanding rightly, your child cannot be baptized, or your adult son or your adult daughter can't be baptized because they can't understand? Would you say that? Or how about a newborn is dying? Experienced this at Children's Hospital in Columbus. A newborn is dying and the plea comes to please baptize my child. Are you so heartless you will not baptize? Baptism is God claiming the child. God redeeming the child. Let baptism be about God's word, God's work, God's promise. Not human abilities. God's word. God's work, God's promises. It is water with God's word, specifically at the command of God, with the triune name of God, that makes baptism. Should the kind or quality or amount of water matter? Should the size and shape of the baptismal font matter? No. Simply, baptism is God's word with water. Put the emphasis on God's word, the command and the promise of God, that forgiveness of sin, freed from death and the devil, and giving eternal salvation. Now, I find this fascinating. Perhaps you may find it fascinating too. When you look back through the artifacts of history, and you go all the way back to the most of the earliest Christian artwork depicting baptism, the person is standing in the river with water being poured over the head with a cup or a seashell. Tile mosaics found in ancient churches and paintings in the catacombs and even etchings on ordinary household objects like cups and spoons and such. And there's engravings in marble. It's always baptism with water being poured over the person. Early Christian baptistries, from as early as the second century, they're too small for immersion, indicating the person would stand in the basin with water being poured over them. And when the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, "Look, here's water," do you assume immersion? The scripture doesn't say that. And also, if you didn't know, the early church also baptized in the nude. Aren't you glad that's changed? It is the pouring of the water over the head using a seashell that led to the image of a seashell being associated with Christian baptism. A seashell is the shape of the font here. Some fonts are eight-sided to show that Noah and his family were saved through the flood. Symbolism, but it was the pouring of the water with a seashell. From ages past, that the seashell, as you see on the front of the bulletin, is a symbol of baptism. And the drops of water and everything and the dove for the Holy Spirit. You see how quickly we can get sidetracked from God's command and God's word? Peter first preached in Acts chapter 2 when the crowd asked what we must do. Peter answered, Acts chapter 2 verse 38. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." From the very first preaching, do you see how essential baptism truly is? Be baptized is proclaimed at the first sermon. Recorded in Acts chapter 10. Peter is brought to Cornelius' house by the hand of God. And there in the house, Peter preaches to the household, beginning with Jesus' ministry, baptized by John in Galilee, in all this part of Judea. That's where Peter begins his testimony at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, at his baptism. Peter tells of the healings and the good things Jesus was doing, and how Jesus was crucified, and that Jesus rose from the dead. And according to Acts chapter 10, verse 43, all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sin through his name. And Acts chapter 10 tells us Cornelius' household was baptized. Paul and Silas were in jail, and an earthquake came, and all the doors flying open, and the chains falling off, and the jailer trembling asked Paul and Silas, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul and Silas respond, Acts chapter 16, verses 31 through 33. They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house, and at that hour of the night, the jailer took them, washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer's entire family was baptized. Also recorded in Acts 16, Lydia's entire household was baptized. Jailer's family, Lydia's household. In both instances, no mention of anyone's age. And entire household means family and servants. Anyone in the house, any age. Well, what does this mean for you? What God institutes is a most precious thing. It's not a human plaything, for baptism is performed in God's name, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Although human hands are used in baptism, that baptism is an act of God. This is really important. Even though human hands are involved in the pouring of the water, that baptism is an act of God. For you're baptized in God's name. And to be baptized in God's name is to be baptized by God Himself. Let that sink in. That's what it means. To be baptized in God's name is to be baptized by God Himself. This is quoting from Luther's Large Catechism. For the real significance of the water lies in God's word or commandment and God's name. And this treasure is greater and nobler than heaven and earth. Being baptized in God's name means you are baptized in God's honor, God's majesty, God's might, God's glory, all that God is. That is what claimed you in baptism, by being baptized in God's name. All that God is brought to bear for you in the action through baptism. And it means exactly as the Word of God promises. You are forgiven, you are redeemed from death and the devil, and you are given eternal salvation. As Mark chapter 16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. So don't get caught up in the arguments over the methods of baptism or age or ability of the person or any disagreement like that. Only stand firm on one baptism, because it's God's name and God's doing, and God is not ineffective when His name and presence is involved. Turn your eyes and turn your heart to the Word of God and the promise of God, and you will know that one baptism makes you different eternally. It's so simple. Repent, believe, and be baptized. You are forgiven, you are redeemed from death and the devil, and you are given eternal salvation. You will be with the Lord forever. That is what is important. The redeeming of your soul. You are a child of God forever. So as it says, and I close with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen and amen.